TNT NewsHour on BBSRadio.com. I am your host, Don Nikoloff. I will be with you actually for the next 2 hours today. Our first hour, we have a special guest with us, Mr. John Klar, who is taking a stand for Rick Stanley, who has been incarcerated in the state of Colorado, given a 6-year sentence for exercising his Second Amendment right to bear arms and his First Amendment right to freedom of speech. And we're going to get into some details in a couple of moments. I want to let all the listeners know that we will be taking calls into this show from the listening audience on stream number 2. And in a moment, I will give out those numbers to you. But before I do that, I also want to share a message that I think is appropriate for today's show. As you know, on the TNT NewsHour, we do not mince words. We expose truths, however difficult they may seem, however incomprehensible or unimaginable they may seem to be. We will expose the truth for the purpose of fulfilling our mission here on planet Earth, what we call life. We have become pawns and puppets in a game which is basically designed to keep us shackled in a reality some refer to as the Matrix. Now, very interestingly, I received a piece of email from a very well-known author, the author of the book The Creature from Jekyll Island and many other books about all the cover-ups that go on, the covert ways in which our so-called leaders have seized power. And his name is G. Edward Griffin, and he sends out a regular newsletter either from Freedom Force International organization or online. It is freedom-force.org and the Reality Zone. And he will send out important news stories that affect all of us. And it's not fear-mongering that you hear in the mainstream media. This is knowledge that comes from careful research, careful study, careful analysis. And even with the spiritual slant on what we can do to change these paradigms that comprise this matrix. And I'm going to jump in, actually skipping the first paragraph about Freedom Force International, and just go into the salient points of this email, because it applies to the issue at hand and the topic of this first hour today, and possibly the second hour. Totalitarianism is on the rise everywhere because advocates of big government have taken leadership control of the power centers within every society. Power centers are organizations and social groupings such as political parties, labor unions, church groups, media centers, and professional societies that hold political power based on their claim to represent their members and on their ability to lead public opinion. It has taken many years for them to achieve this dominance over society, but they have succeeded. It does no good to complain or to theorize about what should be done. As long as advocates of big government hold the power, nothing will change. We must not be like cats. One of the most profound differences between dogs and cats is that cats focus on effects while dogs focus on causes. If you toss a pebble at a cat, it will look at the pebble. If you toss it at a dog, it will look at you. In this respect, too many people are like cats. They are preoccupied with the details of their loss of security, freedom, and privacy, and they flutter like wing-clipped pigeons, complaining about this and that without knowing why these things are happening. By contrast, members of Freedom Force focus on the cause and work to eliminate it. The degeneration of civilization is not the result of blind forces of history operating beyond comprehension or control. It is planned and caused by a small but well-defined group of people who believe this decline is necessary for what they fondly call the New World Order, but what we recognize as high-tech feudalism, in which mankind will be condemned to live in perpetual subservience to elitist rulers. The identities of these elitists are known. They have names. They belong to organizations. They meet together to create strategies, and they work jointly to implement them. They dominate the power centers of society. We will not escape their plans by looking only at what they are doing. We must focus on them and remove them from their present positions of power. Any other plan of action is doomed to failure. That, however, is not enough. If we focus solely on the identities and personalities of those who are promoting the decline of liberty, we will be stumped by the fact that even if we should succeed in removing them from their positions of influence, there are many more just like them waiting to step into their places. In the final analysis, it's not the names and identities or political party affiliations of these individuals that matters as much as what they believe, what ideology they hold. Their ideology has a name. It's called collectivism, a concept that government is master and people must obey. It's to no avail to remove one collectivist from power only to replace him with another one, which has been the pattern for all too many years. It is time to stop acting like cats, stop being forever fascinated by the personalities and deeds of our leaders. We must be more like dogs and focus on the ideology of our leaders, because that is the cause of their deeds. The solution is simple. It is to take back control of the power centers of society one by one, just the way they were captured in the first place. Replace the collectivists with people who have no personal agendas except to defend freedom. This will unleash the vast human potential for prosperity and happiness that can be realized only in the absence of government oppression. However, to reach that goal, it will be necessary for those who cherish freedom to do more than complain, and far more than just casting a vote every few years. They must reach for power. That is the reason for the motto of Freedom Force: Impotentes defendere liberatum non possunt, which is Latin for those without power cannot defend freedom. Now, I encourage everyone to go to www.freedom-force.org, sign up, become a part of this. If you want to fight for your freedom, if you want to change this paradigm, this matrix, and understand what is really going on, and feel that you can contribute in some small way, then by all means, you have not just a duty to mankind to do that, but you have a duty under your God to do that. And that is my rant. It's actually courtesy of G. Edward Griffin, as I mentioned before reading this, and I find it quite miraculous that this arrived in my email box moments before today's broadcast. With that, I want to invite now onto the TNT NewsHour. He has been our guest this week, Sunday on Mission Possible. You can hear the archived interview with this gentleman, myself, and Dr. Len Horowitz. And he was also with Doug Kogan on my Evident Footprints show Monday, and again with Dr. Horowitz on Evident Footprints Tuesday night, last night. And he will not only appear in the first hour of the TNT NewsHour, but also again for a full hour with my guest Michael Anthony tonight on Evident Footprints, attorney John Klar. John, how are you?
Hanging in there, Don. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's my pleasure, and again, my hat is off to you, and on behalf of the many people who emailed or called me to extend their appreciation and their prayers to you, I want to thank you on behalf of Americans across the country for what you're doing. And, of course, not just you, but also the stand that Rick Stanley has taken, and his courage and his faith that he's going to move through this.
Well, and I return that to you and your listeners because we just can't stand alone. Rick Stanley and I can't do anything without the help of the very people that we're trying to do it for, and neither can Ron Paul, by the way. Your comments from Mr. Griffin, I missed a little part of it. Could you repeat that statement again? The whole thing? Yeah, just kidding. I thought it was really insightful. I've read his book, and I'm a fan. And in fact, it's very cogent, I think, to what we're discussing, because the U.S. Constitution was designed to fend off those collectivist forces that he's discussing. And they pretty much foresaw that those powers would be there waiting to enslave us once again. That's why I think it was Ben Franklin said we had a constitution if we could keep it, or a republic if we can keep it. And so we really do see ourselves coming full circle. And his insights are very helpful, and we need to disseminate them. What would you like me to recount for your listeners today the background of Rick Stanley's situation and how that relates to what we're fighting against here?
Yes, I would. But before you begin, I want to just quickly give out some phone numbers for anyone that would like to call. But we're going to give you at least 5 or 10 minutes here before we take any calls. We're going to stir the pot a little bit today on the show. So I want to give these numbers out quickly, and then by all means, I'd like you to encapsulate the case and where it is right now. The toll-free numbers, we're going to be asking you to call in on Station 2. And the toll-free numbers in the United States and Canada, area code 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, the number is area code 877-489-6350. And we have three direct lines. Those of you who are online, by all means, go to our homepage and you can see those lines, those numbers there, right underneath the numbers I just gave out. Again, under BBS Station 2, those are the call numbers. So we want to encourage you in about 10 minutes or so to begin calling in and contributing to this dialogue. Okay, John, I turn the mic over to you, and you're going to give us the background on Rick Stanley's case.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity. Many of your listeners know that Rick was initially came into this situation back in 2002 when he was running for U.S. Senate in Colorado. Rick is a veteran with no prior criminal history, and he's been a constitutional activist, I believe, for quite some time, and he was running as a Libertarian candidate. And at the time, first in Denver, but that's a separate and earlier case, but then relating to this case, in Ashton, he went into the city deliberately wearing a sidearm in violation of a city ordinance which required a permit in order to have a gun. And Rick's contention was that the cities didn't have the right to do this and that it violated his Second Amendment right under the U.S. Constitution and his right to bear arms under the Colorado Constitution. And so he organized a public protest as part of his campaign to publicize this issue. And when he did so, he was arrested. He represented himself at trial. He lost. He represented himself again on appeal and lost. After he had lost his appeal, but prior to serving the sentence, the state of Colorado legislature passed a bill which struck down these very ordinances as void. And Rick felt very much he had been vindicated and that his rights had been violated by the judges, and this had been affirmed by the state legislature. And so instead of turning himself in to serve the 90-day prison sentence for wearing the firearm, he filed a notice with the court, which mirrored the notice that the court had issued for his arrest. And it said, notice and order, and I paraphrase, if you do not overturn my conviction for possessing a firearm in the city of Ashton, and if you, in view of the Colorado State's recently enacted legislation, which specifically struck these down as void, then you are violating my constitutional rights to bear arms under the U.S. Constitution and the Colorado Constitution, and your oath of office to uphold same. And he demanded that they return his gun and bullets and overturn his conviction, or a warrant for treason would issue for their arrest for violating their oath to uphold the Constitution. Rick has not, that statement is the entire sum of the case before the U.S. Supreme Court when they decide to whether or not to grant this writ on Friday. And just to explain, Rick then went up through the court system with counsel. He was convicted at trial. I should back up. He was charged with two counts of trying to influence a public official by threat. And he went to trial, he was convicted and sentenced to two consecutive maximum three-year sentences, which meant a total of 6 years in prison. He appealed all the way up to the Colorado Supreme Court, and now, having not had any recourse there, he is appealing to the United States Supreme Court. The United States Supreme Court has many of these writs, a writ of certiorari it's called, filed with it each year, and it goes through them and it only grants a handful. So the odds are statistically very much against Rick, but obviously the issues here are very important for all of us, so we believe strongly that this case has a better chance than most of being considered by the court. On Friday, the court will meet, the full court, to consider which writs to grant or deny, and Rick's writ is on their list for Friday. Monday, the opinion, that is not a public hearing. On Monday, we will be able to contact the court, and we should have an answer to whether or not Rick's writ has been granted. And if that happens, then there will be a full hearing before the court when the court will take the entire Colorado record, the whole history of Rick's case, and review it. There would be briefs filed by Rick and by the state of Colorado, and then they would have a hearing like they did in the Heller case last week when both sides would argue, and then some months later the court would issue a decision. So what we're really asking the court to do is affirm the constitutional rights that clearly have already been enunciated for us that were ignored by the state of Colorado. And just a couple other things that I want to point out that are noteworthy about this. Whatever one thinks about Rick Stanley and the gun rights issue, the freedom to speech, to free speech that we all share is equal whether applied to gun rights or abortion or freedom of religion or artistic expression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is at root a free speech issue, and dismissing Rick would be like being a cat instead of a dog, to paraphrase Mr. Griffin, and
yes,
to say, well, it doesn't affect me. So the other thing I would point out is that I cannot find a case in history, and if anybody can find one, I'd be curious to see it, but I can't find any legal case on the books in any state in this country in which a person was incarcerated or convicted solely for threatening to arrest someone, let alone for solely threatening to issue a warrant for arrest as part of a political protest. And again, from beginning to end, or at least in the beginning, long before he issued this notice, Rick was under surveillance by our domestic anti-terrorism task force and our federal government for protesting for his gun rights. So that isn't explained by his notice. All the surveillance and listen to his emails and his phone calls, all they could find was this notice that he filed as part of a pro se pleading. In other words, he was representing himself in court. He didn't go do it behind somebody's back or sneak it into the judge's garage or threaten him. He was doing it very publicly, and they shut him up. They put him in jail now for 6 years. He's sitting in jail, separated from his wife and family. And for what? For doing what we should all be able to do. And the example I use is if I protested George Bush's war in Iraq, and I said, if George Bush doesn't pull out of the war in Iraq within 3 weeks, I'm going to issue a warrant for his arrest for treason, for ignoring the American people, and denigrating the U.S. Constitution. In fact, I understand that the city of Burlington, Vermont, just issued an arrest warrant for George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Yeah,
I believe in an official capacity. So are they all going to go in jail? They better not go to Colorado. This is absurd. That Rick Stanley is in jail for this in America in 2008 is absurd. And it is proof of what G. Edward Griffin is saying, which is they want to pacify us. And the way to do that is to dismantle the constitutional protections which were designed to prevent this kind of enslavement from happening again. And it has to be done gradually. They erode it. And they're even using the mainstream media and television programs like 24 and other programs, literally our government, involved with the screen, with the actors and the writers of the script, in order to influence American opinion about their civil rights and that they should release them so that we can be safer.
Yes.
I did a video on it related to Ed Brown, and it's called Ed Brown, Who Do You Trust? And I go through and show some of the instances, actual, you know, articles and facts that that's what they've been doing. We need to wake up, and we need to wake up and look at Rick Stanley, because we're next. And if he is silenced, then the next people, are we all going to be afraid? And that's why you and G. Edward Griffin and I and Ron Paul and others must stand, as many as possible, because that's where our strength is, in truth and in numbers. And the very fact that Ron Paul and others are still living today is a proof that we do have some remaining freedoms, and we need to hold on to them, and we need to hold on to it tightly, and with guns if necessary.
Yeah, there's a, if I may interrupt for a moment.
I'm done. Thanks.
Oh, no. By no means are you done. You're just getting started. I'm it's tongue-in-cheek here. We have to try to humor ourselves a bit because this is a very dark subject. There is a common denominator in all the names that you mentioned, and that these are all men of God. These are men who have aligned themselves with our Creator. And so we must take into consideration our Creator's laws and man's laws. As I pointed out, sort of through stream of consciousness during last night's Evident Footprints show, that we're following these laws, and we're told that we're not to judge. Yet we're receiving these commands, these orders, from judges, people whose very names are in violation of God's laws. Or their designations, we'll say, and they're acting in principle to contradict God's laws. Is it any wonder that God's laws have been taken out of the courtrooms, out of our schools, even out of churches? There are churches that are no longer following God's laws, but promoting political policies and ideologies. I won't embarrass the TV evangelists who do this. To themselves, they do enough of that harm to themselves and to their congregations, and in a sense to our country. You know which ones are overweight, let's put it that way, and one can sort of discern who that might be I'm talking about. The fact that
I don't like Hagee either.
You are a discerning individual, it seems. The fact that we are just supposed to lie down and accept this, why? Because these people have money, or because they belong to a big corporation, or because they belong to the corporation that's systematically eliminating people through vaccines and through drugs and toxins and poisoned food and poisoned environment and murder and torture and mind control, and you just go through the list. It's obvious who these people are. Now, we're preaching to the choir when we have listeners who follow what's printed in the alternative media, what comes across on shows like this, and you know, this is news, folks. This is a news show. You're not going to hear commercials. You're not going to have pretty songs. You're not going to see blonde-haired chicks just spewing the pabulum that they spoon feed them to then spoon feed us. You're not going to hear that on this show. These are real issues. These are life and death struggles going on, but they're happening on a spiritual plane. They're happening in relation to the future of our country, of mankind, and this planet. And it's far bigger than one man. It's far bigger than Rick Stanley and John Clark and myself and any other person that has come forward to spread the word about what is going on. Now, we have to take responsibility. You heard me say this last night. You may have heard me say this on other shows. I am convinced that we are responsible for allowing this to happen as much as our ignorance and our apathy to do anything about it, to just tolerate it, and really, you know, what else can we do but turn to God? What else can we do but to take back control through the methods that Mr. Griffin suggested is one possibility. Again, we have to play by the rules. We have to play by the system. They have methods devised that you get a strong person with character in there. They have the methods to use mind control, drugs, force, blackmail, extortion, whatever you want to call it. This goes on nonstop. And this is really organized crime is what it is. It's crime against humanity and ultimately crime against God. Any comment, John?
Well, you know I agree, and Rick knows this because this is how we met, some of the things that I've done to try to publicize these same issues. And it seems to me that the monster just gets more brazen and comes more and more out of its hole as we move forward. When I wrote the book, we hadn't had some of the things we've had happen since. Just most recently, we see the government taking weeks to deliberate how much of our money to give back to us in a so-called economic stimulus package, which Bush tries to tack a wireless company immunity package onto. I mean, that's absurd. He's right out in front of our faces. And then they turn around and they bail out Wall Street. I read that the other day Dick Cheney was being spoken to at a conference, and he was told that this war in Iraq is very unpopular. Some 80% of Americans think it was wrong. And his response was, so? The monster is right out of the hole.
Mm-hmm.
God's protective hand is being withdrawn, and Satan is in ascendancy, and we see his... I see something happening right as he is in his supposed worldly ascendancy. The illusion is being pulled back. The anxiety in America today is as they see that their dollars and their homes and all the other illustrious idols to which they have bowed for so many decades, which we are responsible for, we cannot blame our leaders, that they are in fact illusions. The dollar never fed my child or gave me a drop of human love. I mean, I may have used it to accomplish good, but it is an illusion. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. So as a culture, we are being compelled right now to look directly in the mirror of the consequences of our own collective sin, of our moral relativism, which has caused our entire fabric to be disintegrate in front of us. But as Mr. Griffin is pointing out, they want to make us into cats. They try to keep us distracted with the effects and not see where the pebbles are being thrown from. They're having a debate now nationally about whether we're going to have a health care system or not. We're bankrupt. We don't have the money for it. School prayer, gay marriage. Gay marriage, Karl Rove and George Bush, great Christians that George is, used gay marriage as an issue to splinter this country and churn out their vote, to agitate, to create wedges. They had no intention whatsoever of ever passing a constitutional amendment. They knew they had no political will anywhere to do it. It was entirely for political motives. How horrible for our nation that all of our collective debate, all of our energy can be drawn into something that's just pure there. It's toxic for the purpose of being toxic, for the purpose of keeping us divided. So we need to stop being cats and being dogs. And yes, I agree with you. And I think it's all coming down. And that's why I could not decline to help Rick Stanley. Rick feels that God is involved in our connection with this, and I do as well, the way it came together. And so we're going to walk this road together, and I pray that it will be to Washington, D.C. But if not, I know that God's will be done, and that's why we're trying to publicize this. Even if Rick doesn't have his writ granted on Friday, this very conversation is making what he has done meaningful. It is making it reach. The very fact that I have come to represent him when I don't represent anybody else and haven't in 10 years because I'm sick with this Lyme business, but the very fact that I've done that, even if we fail, the human compassion that he knows that I have for him and the reason that we're together, that bond, that part of being the body of Christ and one being the hand and the foot, and I guess I'm the mouth, but I'm kidding. Hoping to be self-deprecating there, not the opposite.
No, you're the heart, actually.
Well, hopefully we all have that, not too much brain and not too much heart and a good mix, but it's what God gives us and how he shapes us in our path through life to be what we are, each unique in the way we are. And Rick Stanley and I have a bond here. If he stays in jail, it will remain. I felt it with him for a couple of years when I had no intention of being his lawyer, no expectation, no real desire at all. And so it's just continued. So that's one of the reasons I took the case, was because I knew that he would know that I care. And that's what we need as humans. They have alienated us, and they wish to use technology to alienate us further and dissolve the community bonds that have historically tied us together. And we as Christians must be the leaders in extending that warmth between human beings in the face of what others will see as a calamity and a panic. We used to be told as a nation that the worst thing to fear was fear itself. If we looked at our Bible at all, We would see that repeatedly throughout, that it's sinful to fear and be fearful and worry, that we should only fear God. But we've forgotten all that. We've abandoned all of our values. And I think, and many think, that wonderful good will come out of economic decline, that our churches will fill. Whatever church, people will seek the Spirit instead of the death of this world. And that's a good thing. And if Americans, I really have some confidence that if Americans, at least in those pockets where they don't panic, because frankly, if I was in Manhattan and the oil stopped coming and the trucks stopped coming with food and pick up the garbage, I'd want to get out of there. But many parts of this country can come back to the community roots that they always had. Nothing's really changed other than this dog and pony show and this mad materialistic rush that we've been pushed on and inculcated into through media and television. As Mr. Griffin points out, media is key to as a power center. We went from TV being a recreational thing for people to watch to, oh, gee, we can advertise on the commercials to, hey, let's get rid of this ma and pa stuff and go with the cleavers and show them enjoying all of our nice products. We turned it into one continuous consume advertisement. Now we're all in huge debt and we're wondering why we're unhappy. We can turn to the Greeks and Aristotle and Plato and learn why materialism doesn't work, or we could turn to our Bibles. And so that value shift back just to what we already were, I have confidence in certainly many Americans and those that have that awareness that the rest is illusion and that human compassion is the most important thing that we have, is it separates us from chaos and despair. They are the ones that will lead and calm the rest. We can't run with the pack and be panicked. We cannot stand the separated now, and we can't stand separated then. I can't feed myself. In 1780 here in Vermont, people still had trade with the rest of the world to get their sugar and their steel and what have you. We need trade. We need connection. We need people. We need compassion. And we don't need the chaos that this government is spoon-feeding us as some kind of evening meal. And I think more and more Americans are going to start to wake up to that, not to be so afraid and sit back and go, okay, so I lose my money market fund and my house has come down in value. You know, at least I don't have cancer. Maybe I'll spend more time with my daughter now that I've been laid off. You know, there's a silver lining here. People are tired from being on the treadmill of laboring harder and harder to have less and less that has less and less utility or value. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. What do you think?
Well, I'm inclined to agree with everything you've said. The material has a lot to do with it, the mind control of the TV. As I research and I become more aware and more conscious through the research that I do and this type of interaction with others of like mind or even greater mind, like yourself, I'm convinced that the television set from the beginning, television was designed to be what it is today. They just had to slowly ramp it up in its intensity and its impact over time. You know, we went from black and white. There you have a paradigm. You have this or that, and hot and cold, good and bad. Right there was the right there paradigm. They got us to buy into the paradigm of an unrealistic representation of what we see. Why should we have had black and white television? Everything else was in color, but it was a mind control method that they used in the beginning. Then they modified the audio, and the audio became stereo. It became more realistic, but also opened itself to all kinds of subliminal influence. They did this the same thing in the movie theaters too. And you could say, well, they didn't have color technology. Well, they made use of what they had. And they never put the up-to-date technology out there for mankind. They use it for their own purposes. And as they advance far enough ahead, they let out certain things. Thus, we had color TV. They had been recording things with a variety of devices, even digitally, long before our first analog VCRs came out. And then what did they do? They got people renting videos and watching them instead of recording what was going on and studying, paying attention, like a dog. They turned us into cats. And then they did it with music. And they're still doing it with music. And then they went to surround sound. They wanted to envelop you totally in the matrix, totally in the experience of mind control. and unconsciousness and lead you where they chose to lead you. So they created movies, created scripts, created stories, and they became topics of everyday conversation in the largest and most successful businesses in the world. That's what the conversation would be about at the coffee machine during coffee breaks. And then they began drugging us and then reinforcing the drugging by exposing us to the sales pitch nonstop, to where we have more than 90% of pharmaceutical commercials telling you to talk to your doctor, to talk to your doctor, talk to your doctor when you have this. Maybe you're feeling this. And they can't even think up enough diseases. They have to come up with three-letter diseases and three-letter acronyms for the names of these fictitious diseases as if they really exist. Well, if you can't sleep, then you have RLS, Restless Leg Syndrome. I mean, wake up, people. You know, the mind control is so obvious. So you are very correct that the television set has been used, is being used, and will continue to be used. Why do you think they're going to digital TV? Now, on another point, and I'm on a roll here, as you can tell. On another point, you stressed something that really has spiritual implications to it, and that is that we have bought this illusion to the extent that we, in our being, in our five sense capacity, and they drilled that into us in school. If you remember, we have five senses, and they went through the touch, taste, smell, feel. They went through the whole five in great detail, indoctrinated us into that system, turning off our connection to our Creator. They turned off our connection to our Creator by outlawing prayer in public school, outlawing it in public events, in public, outlawing it in the courts. And then what did they do? In all the while they were separating us from each other, their goal ultimately was to separate us from our Creator. That is only an illusion. It's just like the dollar bill. When the dollar bill falls, just like you said, maybe there's a blessing in disguise in this. Yes, there is, because as the dollar bill falls, so does their house of cards. Now, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to wake up, or are we going to wake up? That's what this show is about. That's what you're doing. That's what Rick Stanley's cause is all about. It's waking us up to a greater reality. All we have to do is recognize what they've been trying to do to us all along, and that is to separate our eternal connection to our Creator. In the manner of replacing that connection with these illusions, all we have to do is let go of the illusions, and then we will move forward and upward. And that's what they're afraid of. That's why everything is ramping up. That's why this challenge is so important. Just like the Ron Paul revolution, the grassroots movement of freedom, people waking up to, hey, you know, they're all liars. They're all crooks. We can't trust anything they say. They're murderers. They're thieves. So let's change this. G. Edward Griffin recommends that. I'm not the only one giving out this message. We heard Dr. Horowitz last night. You yourself are crying out into a wilderness of dumbed-down, somnambulistic citizens of a country called the United States of America. And I don't really see much united at the moment, unfortunately. But this isn't about doom and gloom. It's an observation, as I said on the show last night. I'm making an observation, not a judgment. And there's a big difference. They can judge. We can observe. And we can, through our observation, we can come up with solutions. And again, I recommend that we turn to God. Whew. Amen. Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Any comment on that further, John?
Well, sure. Briefly, if I can. I'm reminded of a few things, but one book that I found really interesting when I revisited it when I was a couple of years ago is George Orwell's 1984. And in it, I think there are a lot of messages that have been dismissed as fiction. He was trying to warn us about the same thing that G. Edward Griffin is trying to warn us about now, 60 years later, exactly 60 years later, which is the danger of ideologies. the book is about ideologies eclipsing truth being used to enslave people. It doesn't matter whether you call it the ideology of the totalitarian or of the socialist or of the democracy, because ideology is ideology. By definition, it is not based in truth. And it is a form of collectivism that you see reflected in 1984. Remember, the common people are called proles in the book, and they're so busy just trying to make a living. Oh, sorry. Should I wrap up, though? Is that all right?
Oh, no. Keep going. I don't know what that was. We got some interference of some kind.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yep. The proles are kept in the dark, while the party knows what's going on, is in control. They deliberately try to keep them too busy just to make a living, to have any time to get informed. And that's why everything you're talking about, TV, et cetera, okay, they don't want people to be informed. They keep us so busy with noise that we don't even know what silence is like anymore. A lot of people,
yes.
I do a lot of backpacking, and if you go in the woods for a few hours, most of us, either the phone's going or the TV or the radio, there's noise constantly, and we can't hear God in the
yes,
noise of it.
Rick, I'm going to interrupt you. I hate to interrupt you at that moment, but we do have some callers on the line, so I'm grateful for that. First caller, would you identify yourself and where you're calling from?
Yes, this is Diane, and I'm calling from the Seattle area. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Welcome, Diane.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can't hear the caller.
I can hear.
Mr. Clark?
Yes, ma'am.
I thank you so much for what you're doing. I've never called into a radio program before, and I became aware of it on Don Nikoloff's Direct Light Production website and at my local library. So I just think it's wonderful what you're doing, and I want to know what I can do as a citizen to help.
Well, God bless you, Diane. First of all, I'm asking for people of any faith to pray for Rick and Pam Stanley and that something good can come out of this, whatever happens.
I'm already doing that.
Well, thank you. And also, as we're saying now, and the reason we're trying to do this on the air today and welcome you, is to just try to get more people to tune in. And even if the Rick Stanleys of the day come and go, that we continue to seek truth everywhere and look away from those who are lying to us. So if you have people that you can email, there are some videos that I posted on Google and on YouTube. And just the more we get people aware of it, the more we can maybe create a platform for yet more awareness for some of the other books that we're talking about, for some of the other areas of dishonesty and deception that we need to reveal.
Can you take
a
couple more before you go?
I will certainly go to bat for you, and I honor you both and Don Nikoloff, too, for daring to stand up and walk their talk, you guys.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you
so much for the call. Thank you very much. We can take another caller here. We're going to have a bit of a problem now. We've got a lot of calls coming in, and we're going to have some trouble handling them. So I'm going to try to do the best I can here with what we have. Next caller, your name and where are you calling from?
Good afternoon, Don. Marianne in Arkansas.
Hi, Marianne.
Oh, good afternoon.
Again, I'm not hearing the caller, so.
Good afternoon.
Okay, there we go.
Yes, Marianne, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Don and John. Thank you both so much for the leadership you're providing, and not only in the articulation that you've done so well with the terms and political and legal means, but also the spiritual battle that we truly are in for our very lives, our very nation. Now, as I understand it, this writ will be considered on Friday, and then the decision will come on Monday as to whether they'll actually hear this case. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, very good. And we'll look forward to that. This will be in our prayers all this weekend. And also, you know, this is a battle that has cost Rick Stanley and Pam tremendous amounts of dollars. And if there's any way we can find to promote an idea for a legal defense fund, or also he has his business website. I don't know if you know that, Don, StanleyFasteners.com, but that would be a great way we could support them. And then for those who want to write Rick personally, is there a way we can post up Rick's address and people could actually write letters to him?
Yes, I can do that. In fact, I can try to post something up on the TNT News Trader blog on bbsradio.com as well as on my own website.
Wonderful.
I do have that
information. Now, I can give you that address now if you think it's appropriate, or I can send it to you by email.
I actually haven't. I just haven't had the
excellent
opportunity.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't want to interrupt your stride. The two of you are doing such a wonderful job. I'm absolutely in amazement at how God has himself, I do believe, just brought forth an orchestrated response in a strong defense on behalf of Rick and his battle on behalf of for our benefit. Thank you both. You're just outstanding, and God bless you both, John and Don. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Marianne. I think we can take one more call here. Our engineer is extending himself. Who's on the line, please, and where are you calling from? I'm not sure we have another caller. Maybe we don't now. Okay, are you still there, John?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, let's pick up this discussion here. There you go. You see, there are people that are moved by what's happening, and that's an indication that this is a spiritual issue. It really is. Making the court understand that and taking that into consideration, we would have to assume that they would be speaking from their hearts and thinking from their hearts. Ultimately, one would like to know, one would like to trust that that is the case. So often we find out that it's not. Now, maybe there is a blessing. You know, it's sort of like looking through rose-colored glasses. Maybe we are going to find that there is another solution that will spring forth, or some manifestation of our intention that will change this in a supernatural level, is what I'm getting at. And of course, we know that our God could do that with a snap of a finger. That could take place. But it's obvious that the writing's on the wall that we are here living these lives, and that we are spirits inhabiting bodies, and we have to move these bodies. We have to act. We have to be more than what they have created us to be, because they are not our creators. They have been our manipulators or our puppet masters. And what's happened is what they thought were puppets are really living human beings that have a creator with infinite power and infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge, and ultimately they have to lose. We can look at the signs of the economy, and it's depressed is an understatement. It's totally deflated. It's a flat tire that's already happened, and it's happened as far back as 1913. And they were complicit in the construction of that, in the infiltration of spies into the country, always selling us on this concept of liberty, which is nothing more than a weekend pass, always having to come back. We've never really experienced freedom. I haven't in my life. And they fed us these stories about slavery, and I'm not saying that these are stories in and of themselves. I'm not trying to stir up anger amongst those that fell under slavery, but how is that any different from what we're going on or going through, experiencing today with the system that they've set up? Because it's collapsing, and they want to use that as the vehicle through which they just take the power, that the people will beg them to take to give us something, you see. That's why they take control of the energy. That's why they take control of all the natural resources. That's why they control the food, and they modify the food. And the people who are doing that are poisoning us at the same time. And the very people they present to us as those that would offer us a cure, and I'm speaking about the medical community, are just as guilty of the complicity in this whole scenario as those that thought it up. And the media is another aspect. Now, there's nothing holy about the media, but these these oaths that they take to uphold the integrity, and they describe themselves as fair and balanced. No, they're as balanced as what swirls around in the vortex of a toilet. That's about how much balance they have. And our religious leaders have sold themselves out. This has been going on for thousands of years, though. This is not something new. And we're repeating the mistakes of our past because we've never recognized the ultimate truth, and that has always been our connection to our Creator. He did not separate himself from us. We allowed others to tell us that he did. And we believed them. We turned them into gods. Of course, they're illusions. But nonetheless, we're waking up. There were, in small numbers, we're waking up. But I'm told that one person can move a mountain if he or she has the faith. And with a number of us and with numbers growing, that will happen. I just want to, in this moment of, deep spiritual reflection, I want to give you the opportunity to give a closing statement and let the listeners know you'll be on my Evident Footprint show, 10 p.m. Pacific time tonight, for the last broadcast before the court makes this decision. And I just want to give you the opportunity, John Clark, to share what's on your heart at this moment and until we meet again tonight.
Well, thank you, brother. And thanks for all of your words, and thanks for your listeners and Diane and Mary, Marianne and others. It's humbling to be part of something that's so powerful, and I think I can try to capture what my perspective is, and it ties in with what a lot of what you're saying has to do with. You talk about our bodies. They can enslave our bodies, and they are enslaving our bodies, our worldly bodies, but they enslave our spirits at the same time. We allow ourselves to yield our spiritual energy. The whole idea of the Constitution is that the power was vested in the people, not in the leaders, not even really in its institutions, because if we don't police our own candy store, we're going to find some fat kids down the block and no candy. We can't abdicate the responsibility entrusted to us as American citizens in a constitutional republic, but neither can we abdicate the responsibility that is put on us as Christians. I lost my health completely with this Lyme disease, and God used it to bring me to faith. So I was bodily enslaved, which led me to be spiritually liberated. A lot of people are going to see all this collapse and hear their phones shut off, and they're going to be relieved. And the creditors will stop calling, and the debt payments won't have to go out anymore because it was all an illusion. I believe it's Acts 20:21. We're told, Paul says, that he cried for 3 years, night and day, trying to warn us not to follow the wolves in sheep's clothing who would lead us astray. We don't seem to talk. We talk about logs pulled out of our eyes and whether Jesus walked on water and lots of things that are obviously important scripture. But we don't hear Christians talk often enough about a warning that was given to us repeatedly by Christ himself and by his apostles, which was, do not follow those who lead you astray. A good tree will yield only good fruit, and a bad tree only bad. You will test the spirit, test them to see if they have the spirit of God, lest you be deceived. We were warned repeatedly not to follow our corpulent religious leaders, as you point out.
Yeah.
Why do we have such a paucity of religious or spiritual leadership in this country today? Now, I don't mean to denigrate any particular leaders other than Hagee, but the point is this, Don, the meek inherit the earth. We don't need a big focus point for our spiritual leadership. It is contained just like our Constitution in We the People. It's in Diane from Seattle, who never called in before. It's in you and Marianne Ponder, who's gone to so much effort to try to help Rick. It's in Rick. It's in Ron Paul. It's in all of us who have God's laws written on our heart and believe in human decency and that good is better than evil. And all of these things that are happening and these illusions that have been allowed to fall, just like the housing market and the dollar, a fiat currency, are used for the glorification of God and a spiritual rebirth, not just for this nation, but for the world. And we know that God keeps his promises. And he tells us, we're told in his word, in Romans 8:28, that all things happen for the good of those who love God. And in the next line, we're told why. So that we might become more like Christ. I am paraphrasing, forgive me. But I try not to adhere to any one translation either. So let's look for that silver lining of spiritual rebirth in our worldly death. Because that's God's purpose for end times or any decline. It's so that we can come back to focus on Him and, like Israel of old, drop our wooden and engraven idols and pick up His Word. Because He's already spoken. And we can hear Him in the silence if we stopped our worldly cares and our worldly busyness long enough. We'll be sitting there thinking about Him, because all the rest of the illusion will dissipate. And I pray in Jesus' name that this truth and His truth will spread like wildfire.
Wildflower is pretty prolific, too.
Crazy world. Yeah, well, like a virus, how about that? No, I want it to spread and use the technology that we have, but also just the compassion that we've never lost, and revive it. And I'm sorry if I misspeak, I'm very tired. It's been a lot of late nights, and we'll have another one tonight. But I thank you and your listeners, Don, and God bless you and all of them, and I'm humbled at being part of something so simple and beautiful as Americans awakening spiritually, which I believe is happening right now.
Well, I want you to get some rest, and thank you, for your well wishes and all that. It really, our prayers go out to you. And I thought of something. Why don't we send up our own chemtrails? But let's make them prayers and chemtrails of love and reality. Let's create a new reality and use that to wipe out the chemtrails that they're spraying in our skies. Tonight we are going to take some calls, John. We have a list of people. Our founder and engineer for the show had to go to an emergency dental appointment, and he apologizes profusely. We had a lot of callers on hold, and on their behalf, I want to apologize for not taking the calls during this show. However, you're encouraged to call into Evident Footprints tonight. John Klar will be our special guest with Michael Anthony, and this discussion is going to continue, and we are going to involve the public. It's time for Americans to step forward and assert their God-given sovereignty and authority. So with that, John, I want to thank you, and I look forward to tonight's broadcast. And get some rest. You've got another hour to do.
Well, God bless you, and amen to everything you were just saying. And I have two more interviews in between, so I'll try to get some rest. But I'll try not to stumble over my words tonight, Don, and thank you again for all your efforts and everyone out there.
Okay, and by the way, your video is excellent. I posted it on my site. We sent the links out to maybe 10 million people today via email, and I know you're going to get a lot of hits on Google and YouTube, and I encourage people to go to my website, directlightproductions.com, to see the fine video presentation, the argument for what this is about, that John Klar, in a T-shirt, brought to you to show you what's going on. And I want to also add that if this was going to be an arm wrestling competition, you would win. So.
Well, praise God for me having my health back. I couldn't walk for a while. I didn't think I'd ever have the chance to even talk to you on the phone like this again. So to Him be the glory. And if you say I have a good intellect, He gave me that too. So please don't give me any credit there, Don. But if people do hit on YouTube and Google, though, that's where it may spill over into the mainstream, because their computers kick it out when they get a lot of hits. So then maybe we'll get and spill over and start drawing some people into your programs and other alternative media and find out what's going on.
Okay, very good. I look forward to tonight's interview. You get some rest, okay?
Thanks, Don. Bye.
All right, till tonight. Folks, you're listening to the first hour of the TNT News Hour on bbsradio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff. I'm going to stay for another hour so Don can visit his dentist. And by then, we should have Seth back. If Seth comes back early, we will again start taking some calls. Got no idea what I'm going to talk about, but I guess it's time to start sharing some other news. Again, we thank Rick Stanley for the stand that he's taking on our behalf, and for John Clark for sticking up for him and us also. And stay with us. Got more news coming forward. So we'll be right back. Well, we're back with the second hour. This is the first, second hour of the TNT News Hour. Why do we call it the TNT News Hour? Well, we don't mean that television network owned by the company that also owns Headline News and CNN and a couple of other stations. What we're talking about is the Trusted News Trader. We have a blog site on the BBS Radio .com website, and if you care to read some really interesting news articles that don't make it into mainstream, then you want to read the Trusted News Trader. Many of the postings are done by Zany Mystic, or Mad Dog, as he calls himself. And I'm going to talk about some things that various folks have been sending me in emails. Of course, these are being reported to some extent. Now, we have the Three Stooges, or the, as I like to affectionately call, the three presidential candidates. And I'm calling them that for a variety of reasons, which we'll get into in a moment. I received from a gentleman who is in the Midwest, came across a piece written by Dick Morris and Eileen McGann. And it's called Hillary's Other Fabrication. And some of you may have heard this, but bear in mind that this is a written article by someone outside the mainstream media. So it's a slightly different slant than what you hear, if at all, on mainstream. It's called Hillary's Other Fabrication. Now that Hillary Clinton has been nailed in an outright fabrication of her role in Bosnia, it is time to remind ourselves of another, even more galling fantasy that Hillary tried to sell the voters. After 9/11, Hillary had a problem. New Yorkers were desperately focused on their own needs for protection, and they were saddled with a senator who was not one of them. An Arkansan, or was it a Chicagoan? Good question, actually. Interviewed on the Today Show 1 week after 9/11, she spun an elaborate yarn. The kindest thing we could say was that it was a fantasy, or a fabrication. She said that Chelsea Clinton was jogging around the World Trade Center on 9/11 and happened to duck into a coffee shop when the airplanes hit. She said that this move saved Chelsea's life. but Chelsea told Talk Magazine that she was in a friend's apartment 4 miles from Ground Zero when the first plane hit. Her friend called her, waking her up, and told her to turn on the TV. On television, she saw the second plane hit, disproving Hillary's claim that she heard the plane hit. She heard it. She did. So why did Hillary make up the story about Chelsea? Most likely, too, was because her co-senator and implicit rival for the voters' affection, a real New Yorker, Chuck Schumer, spoke of his daughter, who attended Stuyvesant High School, Dick's alma mater, by the way. We're speaking about Dick Morris, located next to the Trade Center, being at real risk on 9/11. Hillary needed to make herself part of the scene. She invented the entire story on national television, the Today Show, and didn't blink an eye. Her fabrication on the Today Show was no unique foray. It is her standard MO. It gives us pause in evaluating all of her stories and calls into question her entire credibility. Now, I wonder that she even recalled this event. And why would such a momentous event have just come out maybe once on one show, and why wasn't Hillary parading Chelsea in the public so she could take the bows for such a heroic act? Well, it didn't occur. And as usual, we got the spin. And of course, if as a last resort, they will even resort to an attack, an ad hominem attack on the very journalist that interviewed her on the aforementioned show. Now, the Bosnia story is, and I'm just going to paraphrase this story, that she was in the danger of missiles flying and all of that, and it was shown to have been false as well. It's not the first time that this woman, this presidential candidate, has lied, and there were many other instances. In particular, if we get into the money laundering going on in Washington, D.C., and in New York, and really around the world, because it's an international money laundering ring, many, many more facts will come out. Now, some will say, well, these are groundless or baseless charges. They have no foundation. Then I would suggest that you start doing some reading and read about the international financial scandal, which has become known as Wantagate, number one. And aside from all of the intel disinformation that has moved in and out of that story, the bottom line is that the bank accounts really exist, that they're preventing the money from going into our treasury. And when you wonder why our economy is collapsing, which is really nothing more than the same kind of duplicitous, hypothecated charade, just like the Federal Reserve, then you will understand that these things are intended to go up and down as they reach into the till or the coffer filled with your money, take their portion, and then allow it to crash, to allow it to amount to nothing, to allow it to move to a point of worthlessness. They move in then, and they buy up your shares at discount prices. By then, you want to save whatever you can, and so you save possibly a couple of pennies on the dollar at that point. They move in, and then they work the price back up, and then they snatch their profits, and they crash it again. And they do this with oil, except with oil, the price never comes down. Oh, it backs up a couple of cents, as if to give you some momentary relief. But now they're jumping in increments of 50 cents, 75 cents, a dollar a gallon. Diesel now costs more than regular unleaded, and it's in fact it's easier to make than regular unleaded gasoline for the average automobile. Most of us are putting regular unleaded in cars that should be using a higher quality of gasoline. Then you have this myth about the additives that they put in gasoline, and And they're using corn for this. They're using, they're giving the corn to the oil companies to manufacture additives to put into the gasoline because it will save money. And yet those gas prices are even still higher. And BP is one such company. Now, methanol is the particular product that I'm talking about. Methanol cuts into the food supply, and even if it's only a quality of corn for animals, at least they're depriving animals of food. They're vaccinating animals. They're putting hormones in animals. They're vaccinating people. They're putting hormones in people. Look at what's going on in this world. Look at who's making the money. They've worked oil into every aspect of our economy, from the construction of our roads, the construction of an automobile, the fuel for what makes an automobile run, all kinds of cleaning products, solutions, the very containers that these solutions are in, and including foodstuffs are made from oil. They're putting oil binding agents and Lord knows what else from petroleum derivatives into our pharmaceutical products, poisoning us. And the travesty of this is many people still are not awake to that idea. You bought into the mind-controlled poor old me syndrome that they are just scoring points on every level. The amount of apathy and the amount of ignorance amongst the average citizen in America, and I could even talk about college-educated citizens, is appalling. It's they tell you to go to school. They've raised the price of an education beyond most people's means, and those that get there are brainwashed. They're brainwashed with all the lies and the phony history and the methods that they intend to use you for when you get to the point to actually have a job and become part of the workplace. They've so indoctrinated you into the system by the time you're out of school that you're just ready to comply and do anything to survive. And even Hillary does that. Hillary has to make herself look better than she is. Why? Because she is not who she says she is, number one. That would lead one to act that way all the time. And the Clintons were that way when she was in the White House. And what is it about people? Is it that that women feel sorry for her for what she went through when Bill was caught with Monica Lewinsky underneath his desk in the Oval Office? Is it because women see this as an opportunity to get back at men? Because this woman, I can tell you, does not act like any woman, and she does not act like any man. Now, there have been numerous reports of her homosexual dalliances, if you want to call them that, by Secret Service agents, by people entrusted in guarding her. People have left their jobs with the Secret Service to get away from her because of the disrespect and from the perverted activities, not just of her, but many of the people that they see in Washington. These are not new facts, and you're not going to hear them reported in the mainstream media because they are bought and paid for by the very entities that control everything else, be it the pharmaceutical companies, the oil companies, or the multinational conglomerates that are just eating up all the companies and corporations and manufacturers that cannot compete against the volume and the numbers. And yet, after they remove these competitors, who are really decent, honest people all around the world, who are just merely trying to survive and doing the right thing and giving you the best products and the best services, they eat these companies up and then they eliminate them. They used to do the same thing in the music industry. I was trying so hard to get a contract with a major label when I was out on the road and performing as a traveling musician. And we did that in concerts or clubs, or in one instance I spent several years in foreign countries working with the institutionalized orchestras and bands, and working for TV and radio. And I had a great job and a really interesting life. But it wasn't what I chose to do my whole career. So I changed. I left that, like many of you do. You change your vocation. You try something else. Or you try it in a different manner, in a, using different methods. And basically, I found that I wanted to return to my country because the music was something that was easier for me to relate to, and there was a lot more opportunity. There were more people. And I wanted to get into a situation where I would have the support of a major record label. What I didn't realize, or maybe it didn't work out for me the way I wanted it to, because I would have been part of the system. I would have become entrapped in contractual obligations, or I merely could have been taken off the shelf. In fact, that happened to us when I was in Europe. We had signed an agreement with a company in England, and they decided they didn't want us competing with their established artists. We made a recording, they put it on the shelf and never released it, and we were bound under contract that was really one-sided. It would have just been a perpetual fight. It would have been a waste of energy and a waste of money to pursue that. Would we prevail? There could be a chance, but I turned around and just created a new opportunity from that, and I was able to actually create something quite well. It wasn't exactly what I would have chosen for that moment because I had my heart set on a recording contract. And much like anyone else that you know who's been successful in the recording industry. But when you reach that level with these big companies, these big corporations, they tell you what they're going to do. It doesn't matter where your heart is and what your intentions are, they tell you what you're going to do, or you don't do anything at all. And so I'm blessed to not have had that happen to me. I can look back at that and see the wisdom of God not putting me in that role. Yet he brought me forward in another way, where I'm actually helping large numbers of people, or at least I would like to think that I'm helping large numbers of people, by revealing truth to them and sharing truth. This story that Dick Morris wrote about Hillary Clinton is a brilliant analysis of the psychopathy of someone that is desperate to maintain power or to recapture power. Now, what implication does that have on us? Well, I hear people say, Hillary Clinton's going to be good because she wants universal health care. Well, right now, you've got independent health care, and they're poisoning us to death. Where is that going to go when it becomes mandatory that if you want the universal health care, and I'm just speculating, I don't know for sure, but if I was to make an educated guess, the intention is then if you are going to receive universal health care, a blanket health insurance policy, socialized health care administered by the government, who might just hand it down to one of their cronies, their private industry cronies anyway, then you are going to have to be vaccinated against a whole series of mystery diseases. And you're going to get a mystery vaccine. And don't be surprised if you don't fall by the wayside in a short time, because that's their ultimate goal. So you have to be suspicious of their motives when they're telling you, well, I'm for health care, and I'm against abortion, or I'm for abortion, I'm for a woman's choice. The women don't have the choice of what they put in the drugs. You don't have a choice. Ultimately, you can refuse to take the drugs. But are you going to be healed with them? Well, it's generally considered amongst all homeopathic medicine specialists that drugs are toxic, that they create other problems. They might knock out one aspect of a disease, and it's usually just the symptoms. It's not the disease itself. And you turn around and develop another disease. And it could be where you were taking something for migraine headaches, all of a sudden you've got liver disease or kidney disease or cancer of the pancreas or a host of diseases. And this has been going on for decades, and they're ramping it up. They're They're blasting us with the commercials, as we talked about in the previous hour with John Klar. We talked about the mind control on the TV, and the pharmaceutical companies obviously must have some kind of agenda that they are that desperate to soak up 90% of the advertising time on television and radio and newspapers and magazines. And notice I don't promote drugs on this show, and I don't promote drugs on my Evident Footprint show. Now, there are reasons for that. Number one, I don't want to be in the pocket of the drug companies. They would love it if I would ask them to invent some new diseases for alternative radio show listeners. They would love it, but I'm not going to empower them like that. In fact, I'm going to basically ignore that they even exist. But yet these same entrapments are there for other talk show hosts, and we're talking about the big ones on the Clear Channel networks, and on the EIB network, and on the Premier network, and it doesn't matter what name they give it, they're all operating from the same hole in the ground, basically. They're not operating from the light. They have to hide in darkness. They have to disguise who they are. So should it surprise you when a politician desperate to get into the Oval Office to hide the corruption, to hide the embezzlement? Now, you can say these are blank charges. You really don't have any proof. Well, there's a lot of documentation that's been published. And I won't even mention the names of the various authors. I myself have published a few pieces about the corruption that's currently going on. But there's another story that has come out that very few people know about, and I think it's worth talking about. We talked about it on my Evident Footprint show this past Monday with Doug Kogan, who's known as Doug from Upland on the Internet. He's got Google and YouTube videos that are absolutely hilarious, and at the same time, he's telling the truth. He's telling you the truth about some of these people. Of course, they're in parodies, but he's got a series of very well-produced videos on YouTube. One is a Hillary Clinton birthday party, and I mean, it just grates on your nerves, but very well done. It's a very accurate portrait of the person he's doing the parody about. Now, in terms of other issues related to her, she had accepted back in 1999, she had accepted from a man by the name of Peter Paul. No relation to Ron Paul, by the way, but Peter Paul happened to be someone who was an attorney at one time, and he was a representative of some very high-profile clients in Central and South America. And Peter Paul had gotten into a contractual arrangement where Castro had been making a fortune by cutting coffee with a lesser-grade coffee. He was selling high-grade coffee to other countries, and making a higher profit by mixing lower-grade beans with the coffee. They do this all the time. I mean, they do this to our fuel supplies. They do this to our medications, our drugs. They do this to food. They do it pretty much to everything. They do it even in the quality they build into a motor vehicle. They're designed to fall apart in 10 years so they can keep the money going. I have a neighbor who works for a steel company, and he says they can build a quality of steel in a car that will make the car last forever, but they're asked not to do that intentionally. So they work a little less now, and they keep working throughout this 10-year period manufacturing steel. They're making what their clients are asking them to make. However, I noticed that my friend that works at the steel company drives a car that has a lot of composite type of materials on it, especially in the area where the steel would rust, because he's educated about what they do. So he's taken that precaution in his automobile. But he doesn't do it with his medications. He doesn't do it with his diet. Now, I'm not judging him. I'm just making an observation that you and I and all of us have to start taking control and making decisions all the way across the board for what we do to ourselves so that we can begin to see, so that we can begin to acknowledge what's being done to us. Because by and large, as a nation and really as a species, and I'm speaking of mankind, we are ignorant of what is going on, how we've been controlled. Now, going back to Mr. Peter Paul, Hillary Clinton accepted, through her husband, up to $1.6 million of a campaign contribution from Peter Paul. Initially, after having served time, and basically, he was set up in this Castro fiasco. He was set up. He was going to profit $9 million from Castro, and they came out with the Trading of the Enemy Act. In actuality, he took advantage of Castro, and many people made money from this coffee deal. Yet they made him do time for that. And then on a second occasion, he was set up. He had drugs planted on his property, and he was set up. So he was ensnared with the drug charge, and then they used that as the vehicle to get him behind bars to bring up this charge regarding Castro. On a second occasion, and this had to do with the fact that he had recruited Bill Clinton. He had tried to save what now was a failing company. And I'll go into a little bit of the detail so you can understand the fight that this man is in. Back in 1999, when he thought that the president is soon going to be leaving office, I have this media company that I started with Stan Lee, the creator of Spider-Man and some other well-known Marvel comics. They started a media company, and in a short time, with about $500,000 that Peter Paul had raised as startup capital, they grew to a $300 million corporation, and still wasn't as large as it could be or powerful as it could be. And he was creating something. It was business. It's the American dream. And yes, he had a criminal record. Even though he was set up, he did the time. It was in his early 20s. He was out of jail, and moving forward. President Clinton didn't seem to have a problem with the fact that Mr. Paul, and we're speaking about Peter Paul, had a criminal record. Peter Paul thought it would be good to recruit Bill Clinton once he got out of office to sort of be a PR person or a front man for his now doing pretty well media company. But with Bill Clinton as a front man, he referred to him as a rainmaker, that he could cause more prosperity to shower upon his business. So he asked him if he would consider coming on board, and he agreed, but he said, instead of giving me, at the time it was $1.2 million, instead of giving me that money, give it to Hillary's senatorial campaign. She needs the money for her campaign. Well, that's exactly what he did, and he did it in the context of throwing a gala, a concert, with all types of celebrities there. And it was a laundry list of Hollywood celebrities. The event occurred in Los Angeles. I remember seeing something on TV about this. And Cher was there, and I think Bobby Darin. Now, I'm guessing at some of the names. I really should have the list in front of me, but you get the picture that these were well-established artists, and a host of movie stars were there. Anybody from Barbara Streisand and Brad Pitt, just a laundry list of famous people. So they all were at this event, and they knew this event occurred. When the campaign reports came out, this $1.2 million was not listed anywhere in the receipts, nor in the expenditures, at least from what Peter Paul could see. And he took issue with that, and he had plenty of videotape and audio tape and written documentation from both of the Clintons that they were well aware they received this money, and they did not report it. Now, this has been reported, I think, on 2020 and possibly 60 Minutes. This has come out to some extent, but it was, again, swept under the rug. And it was conveniently swept under the rug when it went to an investigation where she could have been found guilty and be serving prison time for having committed several felonies, not just one felony. Now, this person that wants universal health care is committing felonies. This person that wants no child left behind, the Children's Defense Fund, and all of these extraneous ghost-like programs that do nothing but put money in her pocket and in her cronies' pockets, she has failed to report this $1.2 million. In fact, in essence, in statements that she made prior to this thing going to trial, which she didn't even have to attend, she made statements such as, well, I don't recall having met Mr. Paul, and I don't recall having my husband, the president, receiving any money or any contributions of that nature, because if he would have, he would have said something about it. And since he said something about it, I don't think he told me. If he would have told me, I would have remember it. And since I'm not remembering that, it probably didn't happen. So that's the gist of what she said. Maybe some of that's exactly what she said. And the judge accused Peter Paul of being a con man because he had been exposed as a felon for the setup that they did some years earlier in regard to this coffee caper. Now, I'm not defending him. He did his time. He's entitled to go into business. And if someone commits a fraud upon him or on the people of this country, and he's willing to stand up to it and point it out and fight for what is right, then he should have his day in court. The judge asserts in front of the jury, this man is a con man, and he can't be trusted, and he's not telling the truth. Now, we just proved by reading this Dick Morris article here that Hillary Clinton lied, and that this is, within a matter of days, the second big lie that she's told. And these are lies. They're not little lies. They're fabrications. They're fictitious. They're lies. They're dishonest. They're fraudulent. These things didn't happen. And yet, she portrays this as to try to make herself a hero. And I've proven this in my research, that there are other such characters. George H.W. Bush, a.k.a. George H.W. Bush, really Scherf. George H. Scherf, Jr., made himself a phony naval hero by jumping out of his plane, ejecting from a plane, and leading his two co-pilots to their deaths. Then being rescued, just happened to get rescued right on the spot. And the obfuscation, the lies told in all the public records about who these people are, where they're from, they're all playing the same game. Now, with Peter Paul, the issue is he's got the evidence. He's got proof that this occurred. And yet the judge, a Clinton-appointed judge, would not allow the criminal trial to go forward. The FEC, the Federal Elections Commission, is covering up this as well. Now, I heard that one of her people got charged. Maybe he got a slap on the wrist now. I'm not even clear on that yet because I'm hearing so many conflicting stories about what happens to these people. He was the scapegoat or the sacrificial lamb in this case, but Mr. Paul is about to go to court in a civil trial because after having given this money to them and having worked something out with a Japanese partner, Bill Clinton turned around and worked out his own deal in something else and got money for himself. In other words, he used one of Mr. Paul's connections, went around his back, and created his own business deal and caused Mr. Paul's company to fail. He lost a substantial amount of money. Now, he was trying to keep his company afloat, and he put some money into it, but what he had done had been determined to be illegal, and again, he was incarcerated. Now, these people are doing much worse with our money, much worse in collusion with the Federal Reserve and the stock exchange. And we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars that they're playing these games with. And they're putting the small fry, the small man, the small individuals that are willing to stand up to this corporate beast that we call our federal government, and the organized crime syndicate that it is, not aligned with, it is the organized crime syndicate masquerading as our leaders. He's willing to stand up against those people, and what do they get in return when they're caught with these deeds? I remarked on a show, John Clark was on a couple of nights ago, that Neil Bush, who was involved in the Silverado loan scandal, which cost taxpayers $150 billion, we bail these people out when they get caught. When they turn businesses upside down and people's lives upside down, we are the ones forced to bail them out. When are we going to wake up to this? I heard John said he thought Neil Bush got 18 months. I'm not even aware of him serving a day in prison. Somebody got him off, I'm sure, or if not with a pardon, just let him, set him free. That's how these people operate. But if all you get for spending, for really stealing $150 billion of other people's money is 18 months in jail, then Rick Stanley is really, really getting an injustice. 3 years for his constitutionally protected Second Amendment right to bear arms, and 3 years for exercising his freedom of speech? That's incredible. I mean, he's got twice the amount just for his freedom of speech. Twice the amount of time. He would have been better off, or equally as well off, if he would have stolen $600 billion of your money. Then that would warrant the 6 years. On the basis of what they gave Neil Bush? Absolutely. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Where is the common sense? Where is the dignity in this world? It's just not there. Now, Mr. Paul has the proof on these people, and he's got a laundry list of celebrities, which everyone seems to put so much faith in these days, so it's rather appropriate that a Hollywood trial will be loaded with Hollywood celebrities. One will wonder who will tell the truth. But I can guarantee you, having spent at least 6 hours interviewing Peter Paul up to this point, the man is telling me the truth and has been very candid about everything, including his convictions, which were nothing more really than setups. Now, what impact do these cases have on us? Everything. This woman wants to be the next president of your country, and she lies, and she fabricates, and she steals, she embezzles, she blackmails. There are plenty of reports on the web about people mysteriously dying who have known the Clintons as well. So we need to consider that, but we have the blind public moving along. People don't know about these things. I was on, and this is a bit of a diversion. I rarely talk about other networks on bbsradio.com, but we're not afraid to talk about that. I was on the Jeff Rentz show last night for an hour, sharing my genealogical research on the McCain clan, and I got a little less than halfway into the Hillary Clinton genealogy. And it's pretty interesting, and it makes a lot of sense how these people are doing what they're doing when you go and look, really turn over every stone and look at what's underneath, and you find some startling details, some startling clues, and using a little bit of intuition, you can come up with a completed picture of how they snuck these people into our country and created false personas for them, false identities, duplicitous identities. I've never in my life, and I don't fashion myself a genealogist per se, but I'm becoming one because I'm learning the tricks that they use, these people use, in hiding who they really are. Why would they hide? You have to ask yourself this question. Why would anyone hide who they really are? And the simplest answer is because they don't want anyone to know who they really are. What is so, now, then the next logical question would be, what is so terrible about who they really are? Or why should we be concerned or suspicious about who they really are? Concerned may be the better choice of words. If you love yourself, if you love your family, your children, your neighbors, we should be concerned about these things. Because there are various ways of taking over large groups of people or large segments of society anywhere in the world or in any existence. If you can come up with a means of doing it without those targeted realizing what's going on, then you can say that you might be successful at it. But is there any honor in that? Is there any honor in enslaving people? We're taught that slavery was abolished with the Emancipation Proclamation, which occurred shortly before that president, the man who uttered those words, was himself assassinated. So when we think about slavery, is it something akin to only one color of skin? My heart goes out to the black people who were from Africa, who were enslaved and taken to many countries. America was not the only country where we had slavery. And their captors happened to be Arabs, men of color. And they were given to the Dutch, sold to the Dutch. And if you doubt that, look at South Africa. South Africa was a more modern slave country. And don't think that slavery doesn't exist today. It's all over the planet. It's alive and well in the United States. Only now, it's not just the black man. It's all races. But the common denominator we have is we're all Americans and we're all children of God. Why can't we see that? Why can't we see that we have been hoodwinked into believing in an illusion? Instead of knowing that it's an illusion, and instead of knowing that all we have to do to extricate ourselves from this nightmare is to wake up and to look at ourselves and begin to take responsibility for ourselves. And then once we accomplish that, then we can take responsibility for others. Do we need to do that? Well, in the sense of lack, we are not doing it. Is it a requirement, I'm asking, metaphorically or rhetorically? Is it a requirement, or is it just the correct thing to do because of our oneness with God? Is it the correct thing to do with our oneness in our nationality? It's mind-boggling to me that we not only don't know ourselves, we don't know each other, and therefore we know nothing about our country. We know nothing about the truth. We've accepted blindly everything that we've been taught. And then a man like Rick Stanley comes forward and speaks his truth, and he gets incarcerated. And John Clark comes to his aid. Now, I'm noticing something different happening here. Because my intention was to expose this story and to expose the travesties that are happening to many people in the process of bringing the truth to you. We also must recognize that these are the people that want to, they proclaim that they're going to save us, that they care about us, that they're going to serve us. They're serving themselves. Because if they weren't, Rick Stanley would not be in prison. And if he is allowed to stay in prison, they're going to start putting more people in prison. Watch. Pay attention. because the writing is on the wall. This is why this is so important. You have to ask yourself, who would murder their own citizens on 9/11? You would have to ask yourself, who would murder other people in other parts of the world? What is the justification for murdering or displacing millions of men, women, and children that never did anything to you? Under the veil of a lie, they call it intelligence. It's actually stupidity. They like to call it intelligence agencies. My sidewalk in my front yard is smarter than these people, and people walk over it all day. The worms that crawl out of the ground when it rains are smarter than some of these people. Now, they're not devious. There's a difference. They're not sadistic or satanic or demonic or alien. Think about those things. Think about that, because we're talking about various levels of consciousness and various powers that are at work here. Spiritual forces. We were told in the Bible that we wrestle not against principalities and powers, but against, let me retract that and start over again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Where are the high places, and who gives these people the high places that they reside in? I wrote a piece recently that we have given our sovereignty over to people through the concept of an illusion. Paper money. Some of you that listen to this know exactly what I'm talking about. And our country is collapsing and everybody's panicking. What are we going to do? Now, how are we going to buy this? How am I going to pay for my cell phone? How am I going to pay for my TiVo? How am I going to pay for my cable TV? How am I going to rent videos? How am I going to buy new clothes? How am I going to go out and drink? How am I going to go out to the fast food place? How am I going to pay for my doctor bill? We think of all the ways that we've been entrapped into the system, and we stay locked in that modality, in that matrix. It's kind of interesting. If you really study what's going on in our society and you watch the movie The Matrix with Keanu Reeves and Samuel L. Jackson, you watch what is going on in that movie with the knowledge of what is really going on in this world, and it's very easy to see that they're just trying to reinforce that whole thing. They're trying to get us to imagine what it would like to be in that, as if that was a fantasy, when in reality we are there already. We're there already. That's exactly what they're doing to us. And what they did is they created a movie about it to show us exactly what we're doing as a test to see if we recognize that that's what they're doing. And everybody says, oh, I just love that movie. That's my favorite movie. It's like saying, boy, I love being in The Matrix. That's really neat. No, the point is, and there's this message of hope in the movie that if you begin to realize who you really are, then you can get out of it. That's the other part of it. But don't think that this movie is intended to change your thinking about what they do. It's intended to reinforce it, as they show it 50 times a month on certain channels. Over and over and over again. They go from John Wayne to Red Dawn to all the Apocalypse Now and all the Vietnam tragedies. They're drilling into you war, cowboys and Indians, and space technology, with some monster pictures thrown in on the weekend, just to create the fear, just to give you your little booster shot of fear. That's what they're doing. And then the media's putting out that kind of propaganda day and night. Now, they might as well just tell people, you know, when you've committed a crime, when you get a speeding ticket, just turn on Nancy Grace on Headline News. And she'll try you and convict you right there on the TV. Don't go to court. Let her do it. That's how deep the brainwashing has gotten. That when you do get a jury, even if you get some intelligent people, they're so brainwashed, so dumbed down. You can be dumbed down and intelligent at the same time. You can be unaware that you've been brainwashed and still have a modicum of intelligence operating on a certain level. So maybe we should just expect to see everything in our reality on TV. Kind of like that movie, I can't remember the name of it, but it was Arnold Schwarzenegger was in it, and Maria Conchita Alonso and Richard Dawson, and it was this reality where they were in a game show, and the object of the game show was to kill them. And they were running through sewers and tunnels and all kinds of stuff. It was a really whacked out movie. But it now, with what I know about Arnold Schwarzenegger, it doesn't surprise me that he's been in those kinds of movies. And what I know about the technologies and the use of television to control people's consciousness, that it doesn't surprise me that they came out with that kind of a movie. Stop and think of the mind control when they're showing you a movie about a TV program on TV. The theme of the TV movie is a TV show. And what gets me is when they have a TV movie with a movie about a TV show that they're watching in the TV movie. And we don't see that. We just somehow this just escapes us. But what it does is in your subconscious, it takes you a little bit deeper, and you're sinking deeper. It's like sinking into quicksand, but you don't have the feeling. You don't realize that you're sinking lower because everything, all your perceptions are brought down at the same time. It's not like standing on top of a mountain where you can see everything happen. And maybe there's some chaos going on in the valley. And as long as you're not in the valley and you're at the top of the mountain, you're safe. That's sort of the impact of brainwashing. Those that are in that valley are totally swept under. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to wake up to who we are? To who we are, and then we can see who they are. But if we don't know who we are, we're going to keep falling for the same tricks, the same ploy, the same war stories, or the same fiction. It's much worse than that. I'm searching for the word, and I can't really even find the word. It's deception. It's concealment. It's like the Wizard of Oz. You know, he had this big sound system and lightning bolts and flashes of light and clouds, and, you know, he could create terror in anyone that would approach his castle. Then when it was found, when little Toto pulled the curtain back, the dog, as G. Edward Griffin wrote, the dog pulled the curtain back, and what did we see? We saw a guy pulling levers and causing all these special effects were manipulated by hand. And really, the movie was about brainwashing us into the economic system. There, you had an energy vortex. She got knocked out. She had a dream. We're living in a dream. The movie was so full of innuendo. It was in your face, people. It was telling you. Go back and watch The Wizard of Oz. I wish everyone listening to this would rent it and watch it with keeping in mind what I'm talking about. And you will see. Follow the Yellow Brick Road was all about following the monetary system. And they told us exactly what they were going to do. And they were going to pit the Wicked Witch of the West against the rest of society. It's exactly what's going on in this country. The symbolism in that movie was incredible. And it was the Wicked Witch of the North. Who is that? Or the Good Witch. I'm sorry, misspoke. She was the Good Witch. Just click your heels 3 times and say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I can remember her doing that. She was kind of cute, too. You know, she had her hair done. It was all permed and curly. And she had that little crown, that tiara on her head. And Dorothy had the shiny shoes, didn't she? That was the glitter, the sparkly glitter of the material world that Dorothy had. Boy, she was the bomb when she got those red glittery shoes. And I remember hearing a couple of years ago that somebody paid $220,000 to own those shoes. They were auctioned off. $220,000for a pair of shoes with some red glitter on them. Why? Because Judy Garland wore them? Her feet sweat like anybody else's. In fact, she was an alcoholic. She probably sweated some alcohol into those shoes, too. I'm being a bit ridiculous, but the point I'm making is that we buy into, as John Clark said, we buy into this idol worship, not just American Idol. I mean, why do they call them stars? You have to ask yourself, well, don't you have to look up to see the stars? And so it implies that we look up to these people. I mean, there's language, there's mind control in the language. Movie stars. Movie stars. You know, the movies that NASA puts out don't have any stars in them. Because if they show us the stars, they have to show us the UFOs. They have to show us the flying saucers. So we don't see stars in NASA movies. We only see them in Hollywood. But the star worship, this worship of these people who are, you know, I'm not attacking movie stars here. I might be a bit sinister about Bob Hope, though, because he was involved in the sex slave MKUltra type mind control stuff with Henry Kissinger. He was involved in that. And he was on NBC. He had a TV show on NBC, and he always appeared on NBC. He was hooked. He was joined at the hip to NBC, owned by General Electric Corporation, one of the biggest contractors with the federal government, and definitely in bed with them in the underground bases and all the secret technology that they're using in space. You see, there are connections to all these things, but they keep us mind-controlled with their little world. So then Miracle GE even came out, not just with light bulbs, but with TV sets and radios and alarm clocks and all the different frequency control mechanisms. In fact, they control you through the frequency of their programming. They have programs. I notice most of the broadcasters on BBS Radio, most of the hosts, including the network, call them radio shows. We're not programming you. We're showing you. We're showing you things. We're teaching you things. And with that, we're about out of time. But hopefully I opened someone's eyes and I opened your heart. And yes, I did go all over the place, but all this stuff is connected. This is nothing more than a game for them. It's a script. They've written the script. They planned it well. I'll give them credit for that. They planned it well. Now, is it going to succeed? You be the judge of that. If you wake up, you become conscious, that's one less person they can take down. If enough of us wake up, we can turn it around completely. Join me tonight with my special guests, Michael Anthony and John Clark, for his final radio broadcast with me on bbsradio.com on the Evident Footprints show tonight at 10 p.m. Thank you so much for listening, and I want to urge all the callers that did not get on the air in the previous hour to please call in the show tonight. We will have you on the air. Thank you. God bless you all, and I'll see you this evening. This has been the TNT News Hour. bbsradio.com.